Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
And so I'm going to be ministering a message to you tonight that I've ministered out of this passage of Scripture before, but I really feel with us going into the e-courses next week, the Saturday e-course is all about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, but when I teach on that course, I spend about 3.5 hours teaching on it. And what I don't do is I don't explain to you why we pray in tongues. It's very quiet in Vero Beach. So we're going to be talking about the power of praying in tongues this evening. The first thing I want to ask you is, do you know that there is a secret about your life? There is something about yourself that you need to discover. How many of you know that that's true? How many of you in this room can say, Pastor Alex, one of my greatest desires is to know why God created me? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And the truth is that outside of Christ, you can never find that purpose. Because if you are created by somebody, let's say if I created a car, I would know what the purpose of that car is because I'm the creator. So unless you're in Christ, you can never find out why the creator made you. Does that make sense? So the only way to truly find out what your purpose is and what God's plan for your life is you have to discover that purpose. You have to discover that plan. One of the most powerful tools that God has given us to tapping into the plans that he has for us is praying in tongues. And I'm going to prove that to you tonight from the scriptures. So what we'll do is let's go straight to 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1, because some of you will calm down pretty quickly once we just do verse 1 and 2. The Bible is very powerful, plain, and actually quite easy to understand if you read it for what it is. Remember, we don't put something there that isn't there. If the Bible says it, though, it must be true because it is the Word of God. So, because some of you don't come to the e-course, I thought I would bring like 2 or 3 verses from there to hopefully whet your appetite so that you'll come and get all of it. What I will tell you is I'm only going to do 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2, 14 and 18 a little bit later on, but when the e-course comes, we do the entire chapter. Because in order to understand some of the things when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, you need to read the entire chapter to get full understanding. But there's some nuggets here that will help us get into today's message. Let's start in verse number 1, just for the sake of context. So Paul says to the church in Corinthians, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now we're not going to focus on the prophecy aspect this evening, but we are going to talk about the side where he says that we should pursue love. In other words, that's the thing we should go after more than anything. What we should pursue with all of our hearts is love. Can you all say amen? But he also says he wants us to desire spiritual gifts. Now, most of you have heard this before because the word gifts there is actually italicized in your Bible, which means it was added for context. But in the original language, the word gifts is not there. So if we had to read it in its actual way it was written, it would be pursue love and desire spiritual, or desire to be spiritual. In other words, God has called you and I not to walk in the flesh, not to walk as carnal Christians, but to become spiritual. He wants you as a Christian to be spiritual. I'm so thankful for your overwhelming excitement this evening. That's his desire. He wants you to become a spiritual Christian, a spiritual being. Because the truth is, you'll never, ever, ever grasp what God even wants to do on the planet, never mind in your own life, unless you can understand spiritual things. If you're not spiritual, you cannot understand spiritual things. Because the Bible says the natural man does not understand these things, for they are like foolishness to him. So in your natural mind, unless you understand spiritual things or desire to be spiritual and walk in that realm, that dimension that you are called to do as a Christian, you're going to struggle to understand anything that is spiritual. And let's get into the good stuff now. Now watch how Paul just goes straight to it. I mean, this is 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 1, verse 1 we've read. Now verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue, everybody say tongue, does not speak to men but to God. Let's stop there. Let's stop right there. I want you to see what it says. For he who speaks in a tongue, he who speaks in tongues, does not speak to men, but to God. So when I pray or speak in tongues, who am I speaking to? Say it again. Who am I speaking to? Now take a look at what the next part of the verse is. For some people understand. What does it say? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one. Everybody say no one. I want to just paint a picture for you, because when it comes to the subject of tongues, it's very confusing for a lot of people. Some people believe that tongues is speaking in other languages. But the Bible says there that no one understands him. Let's just read that one more time so we can all make sure. If you have an NIV, an NLT, it's all the same. Okay? That's what it says. No one understands him. So we understand that the context of what he's speaking about is an unknown tongue. Because if it was a language, there may just be one Italian in the building. And that context would be incorrect. Are you with me? He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. That includes you. When you speak in tongues, more than likely, you will not understand what you are saying. And if you come next week on Saturday, I'm going to talk a lot about this. So I don't want to do that tonight, because I want to show you the power of tongues tonight. So he says no one understands him. But he says this beautiful little word, which means that there is a really important reason why we're actually doing it. We're speaking to God. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. What is a mystery? A mystery is a secret. A mystery is a hidden thing. Something that was not revealed before, but now all of a sudden begins to get revealed. In other words, when I speak in tongues, I do not speak to men. I speak to God, for no one understands me. However, in the Spirit, I'm speaking mysteries, because you must understand, the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. So in order for me to get to tap into the secrets and the mysteries of God, God had to do something to get past your intellectual mind. Because if he didn't, we would never get it. Come on, let's think about it. Some of you are not analytical at all, but some of you are very analytical. Now, for the very analytical, this is like really difficult. For those who are not analytical, you'll be like, I think I can do this. This isn't so bad. But for someone who has a really analytical mind, this is difficult, because this is something that requires nothing to do with your mind. Okay? Now, again, I know that this can be very challenging for people. Now, if you want to go into the rest of Corinthians 14, you better come next week. Let's quickly read Romans 8, verse 26. Now, that verse, we're going to come back to several times today in the text that I'm going to be sharing with you, because it's going to reveal something to you, and I believe it'll encourage you greatly. You see, it's very important that you understand. Here at Oceans, we believe in praying in tongues. We also believe in order. So Corinthians 14 explains the order of the gifts of the Spirit, specifically in a service. And so it's important that we understand properly what the Bible says. Otherwise it gets confusing, and we may reject something that God really wants to give you. How many in this room say, I want all that God has for me? All right. All right, I could go on about the mysteries for really long, but let's just read Romans 8, 26. Let's go there. How many of you, before you read the verse, quickly take it off for just a second, please, because otherwise I'm talking and they're all like looking at the screen. How many of you in this room have ever had a situation where you need to pray, but you just don't know what to say? How many of you have ever been in a situation where you've like, okay, today's the day. I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do the regular 2 minutes. I'm going to do 30 minutes today. You go in, you close the door, you begin to pray, and you've like prayed for your family, you've prayed for your business, you've prayed for your finances, you've prayed for your dog, you've done like everything now. And it's like 4.5 minutes have gone by. And you just don't simply know anymore what to do. But you really have decided that you're going to spend time in prayer. Now, you can worship. That can definitely work, okay? And while you're worshiping, you know, that also requires the Spirit, because the Bible says that we should worship Him in spirit and truth. So then definitely something will begin to happen there to the spiritual man as well. But we're not going to talk about worship tonight, okay? But that can happen. But more than likely, a couple of minutes and you begin to struggle with what to pray next. How many of you have ever been in a situation where something really bad happens and you know you need to cry out to God, but you just don't know what to say? Now, the Bible has an answer. Let's read Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we're going to talk about this just a little bit before we move on. But I want you to understand that what happens is the Spirit will pray for you when you struggle. He will pray on your behalf when you don't know what to ask for. He will pray for you according to the will of God for your life. How many of you in this room believe that God already knows what you're going to face tomorrow? So the Holy Spirit is ready inside you, already knowing what the challenge will be. You may not know what you need to pray for, but He does. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, groanings is not praying in tongues. You might be right. You might be right. But when you pray in tongues, you are agreeing, you are praying with the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to make you aware of is that He's praying, He's operating, but there's something for you to do as well. Because how many of you would like to know what that mystery is? What that secret about your life is? Or when I speak to God, I don't speak to men, I speak to God when I pray in tongues. However I pray or I speak mysteries, how many of you want to know what that is? I know I do. Amen. Now I want to show you just one thing real quick. Paul makes another statement, and I said this earlier on. I've just taken up three verses from that scripture, 1 Corinthians 14. But I want to show you this again, because I want to show you that most of the time, people, when they're praying tongues, don't know what they're saying. I've seen so many times how people will go, you know, well, Pastor Alex, you know, I don't understand it. Well, I mean, you will not understand it. You can't understand it. And that's scriptural, 1 Corinthians 14:14. Now watch this. How many of you would like to know how to pray in the Spirit? Okay, what does the Bible say? For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Stop there. How many of you have heard? There's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about praying in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? The Bible tells us, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. One of the ways to pray in the Spirit is to pray in tongues. But then he goes on and he says, put it back on, please. But my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, and the next verse is good, but you'll have to wait for Saturday. Okay. Now, let's get into the main text for tonight. I wanted to show you that because I want you to remember that. When I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Oh, so good, guys. Now watch. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. In other words, he's saying, listen, when I came to you, I didn't come to try and convince you with fancy words. I didn't come to try and convince you with the wisdom, all the wisdom of show you how great I am and how knowledgeable I am of the things of the Old Testament or anything like that. Because the truth is, if you study Paul's life, you will find out he was a great biblical scholar. And so when he went into Corinth, he could easily have gone there and he could have shown them how much he knows. But instead of doing that, he says, listen, I didn't come to you trying to show you how knowledgeable I am, to try and show you how much wisdom I have and how learned I am. And look at what he says. He says, declaring to you the testimony of God. In other words, to try and prove to you the testimony of God, I'm going to come and I'm going to show you wisdom, words of wisdom or these flattering words or these great powerful words. He says, I didn't do that. Many times that's what we do. We go to a place and they say words from the platform nowadays. I've got no idea. It's just like this weird English of these strange words. I can't understand it. I'm just a simple guy. I want to know what it means. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm not even going to give you the examples. Okay. He says, for I determined, in other words, I've made a decision not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, when I came to you, I made a decision that when I preach the message, I'm going to preach the message of the cross, because it's the message of the cross that will produce life. And when we read that, you must understand that he's not just saying, I'm preaching the cross only. What he's saying is, I'm preaching everything that happened when Jesus was crucified. I'm preaching about his resurrection. I'm preaching about what happened to us, how we changed from the old man to the new man, how we've been given grace and mercy and love, and how the power of God is now available to us and will change us forever. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Here again, he's overemphasizing that I didn't come to try and persuade you with my doctrine. He says, instead of that, he says, I came to you not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, listen. His message was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if He's going to come and preach the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it must be a message of demonstration and power. It must be. Because Jesus said, go into the world and be a witness. A witness of what? A witness of His resurrection. That resurrection was something pretty spectacular. That resurrection required supernatural power. So Paul said, listen, I'm not going to come to you and teach you with words of wisdom and human understanding and try and get all smart with you. Instead, I'm going to come and I'm going to demonstrate what took place in the cross and the resurrection. A demonstration of the Spirit and power. We must be a witness. And then he says this, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, because you can get led astray really quickly with fancy words. What he's saying is, listen, I'm going to teach you about Jesus and what he did. And then I'm going to show you that that power is still alive and well right now. A demonstration of the Spirit and power. And that's what Paul did. And then he says this. Now watch, because this is where it starts to get interesting. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. So now he's saying, if you are a mature Christian, and he's not talking about mental maturity, he's talking about a spiritual maturity. Because otherwise it would appeal to the intellect. Are you with me? He says, however, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature. See, now, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There's that word again. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. What does the next part of the verse say? Say it again. Whose glory? Your glory. This is very powerful. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when I speak in tongues, my spirit prays. And then it says there that we speak, when we pray in tongues, we speak mysteries. Are you with me? We speak mysteries. Now he's saying, let's read it again together because I really want to make sure you understand this. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Remember, let's just read it again. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So there is a way that you are able to speak these mysteries. There is a way that you are able to speak these mysteries. And then he says this. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Remember, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. You need to find out what it is. You will never find that plan out in the natural. The only way to find out what that mystery is, what that hidden thing is about your life, because he says it's for your life, the only way to do that is to speak this mystery. How do you do that? How do you do that? And why is this so important? So he goes on and he says, watch this. He says, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Now he's talking about demonic forces. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is very powerful because he's saying, listen, if the enemy knew what would happen when Jesus rose from the dead, and you receive the Holy Spirit, and you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you can actually tap into the secrets and the mysteries of God, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory, because you will become just like Jesus was. You will walk with authority and power. You will be able to be used by him. You will be able to hear from God. It's amazing. And if they had known what was going to happen after the crucifixion, you see, they thought when Jesus was in the grave, that was the end. What they didn't understand was that the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead was now going to be in all of you. And then he says this, and I like this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who loved him. Who love him. In other words, listen, your natural mind, your natural eyes, your natural ears, they will never be able to understand the things that God has prepared for you if you love him, right? Eye cannot see, ear cannot hear. You'll never get it. You'll never get it. So then how do we get it? How do we begin to understand the secret things, the mysteries? How do we begin to understand? How is it that it gets bypassed through the natural? How do we tap into this? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. Verse number 10, watch. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Now watch. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? In other words, your spirit, your personal spirit, knows you, right? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received, not the Spirit, but we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know. Everybody say, that we might know. The things that have been freely given to us by God. How do you do that? How do you begin to know the things which have freely been given to us by God? The only way to do that is to speak spirit. The only way that you speak spirit is by speaking in tongues. And while you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking the secrets. You're speaking the mysteries. And what begins to happen is your mind begins to change. Listen, the way that you are able to see spiritual things is when you are in the Spirit. When you are praying in tongues, you are not speaking to man, you are speaking to God. And God is speaking back to you. But God doesn't speak to your mind the way that we think He does. Like God doesn't say, how many of you have ever had a conversation with God? Well, how's it going? How are you doing? It doesn't work that way. God will speak to all of us differently, but many times He'll speak to you in pictures. So you're busy praying, and you're busy praying in tongues, and it sounds like you don't know what on earth you're praying, but you can feel the presence of God is there, and you're praying in tongues, or you're praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden the picture begins to change. All of a sudden God shows you you're going to plant a church in Vera Beach. That's what happened to me while I was praying in tongues. I came out of my prayer closet. I went to Naomi and I said, listen, God has spoken to me. He told me we're going to Vera Beach and we're going to plant a church. And she said to me, how on earth did that happen? Because what happened is while I was praying in the Spirit, while I was praying in tongues, a secret about my life was revealed to me. Are you with me? There was a secret. And if the rulers of this age had known that by praying in tongues, the Lord would begin to reveal His mysteries, His plans, His purposes for us, He would never have crucified the Lord of glory. And many of you may be sitting here thinking, oh, well, you know, that's just, you know, it's not for me. And you will always wonder what on earth you are here for. You can become spiritual other ways, yes. But this is for every single believer. Tongues is for every single believer, and it is one of the most powerful ways to connect with God. It's so funny. There's this video of Derek. I don't know if he's here tonight. There he is, Derek, when he's going on this ride in Orlando, and he's joined with one of his friends, and they're sitting there in this ride, and it's one of those that shoot up in the sky, you know? And then it comes down, and he's in this thing, and they're standing there, and they're relaxed, everything. And like you see, they get a little nervous. And as that thing shoots up, you just see Derek just breaks into tongues. Because he's become so dependent on the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, there's nothing to say. What do I say, God? You know what I need in this moment? Like maybe there's some angels or something. I don't know what to ask for, but he just begins to pray. It's one of my favorite videos of all time. I promise you, I love it. But that's what happens. And the enemy did not want you to know about this. The enemy does not want you to do this. That's why he's caused so much confusion with praying in tongues. But let's read on because it doesn't finish there. I just want you to see it. Let's read verse number 12. Now we have not received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have freely been given to us by God. But you cannot understand spiritual things in the natural. You cannot. So you have to become spiritual. How do you exercise your muscles? A couple of weeks, there's this little bump that appears, you know? So when you pray with your spirit begins to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And you begin to hear more accurately. The other day, Naomi was in a prayer meeting with us. And I'm sitting in the front busy praying. And she's sitting there and she says, Lord, we spoke about the fact that Alex needs to pray for Israel. And he's about to close the prayer meeting. And I was about to close the prayer meeting. And she said to the Lord, Lord, please tell him to pray for Israel. And in my mind, after she told me the story, I'm thinking about what happened. I remember sitting here getting ready to close, and suddenly in my mind appears, pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. And immediately I just go right into it and begin to pray for Israel. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit that's in her is the same Holy Spirit that's in me. Are you with me? That's why when we pray here at the church on Saturday mornings and on Wednesdays, we pray in English and then we pray in the Spirit, or we pray in tongues, so that we can begin to hear exactly what God wants us to pray for. Yes, we have a strategy. We pray for the nation. We pray for our city. We pray for the church. We pray for our community and the leaders and all that stuff. But there are times where God just gives us specific things to pray for. And those of you that come know what I'm talking about. They just become so powerful. And the reason why that happens is because the whole body that's here goes into absolute perfect unity. Well, how can I say that? Well, don't we all have the same Holy Spirit? So if we're all praying in the Spirit, whether we may sound different, we're all praying the same thing if we're praying in unity. We've got to teach you guys about prayer. All right, let's move on. Are you all okay? All right. Verse number 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the only way you will understand them is by the Spirit. And the more you pray in the Spirit, the more you will begin to understand, the more you will begin to see, the more you will begin to hear. Remember, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them. But you also have spiritual eyes. You also have spiritual ears. Your spirit man has to grow. Your inner man has to grow. The part that God has completely transformed, that really believes you can actually be what God called you to be. You can actually do what God called you to do. That's what your inner man believes. The only problem is this thing between your eyes. That doesn't agree with everything that God actually says about you. Because you worry about all the things you've done wrong. You worry about all your weaknesses. You worry about all your faults and all your problems. And God says, if only you would step into the purpose and the plan that I have for you. If only you would be able to see the things that I've destined for you. And one of the only ways that that happens is by praying in the Spirit. Now, there are many people that can step into it without praying in the Spirit. This is not a requirement for salvation, but it's a huge part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he tells us about praying in tongues, and then he says, but I wish you all would prophesy more. How many people prophesy that you know that don't pray in tongues? I can tell you how many I know. None. None. So tongues is like the starting point when it comes to the supernatural. It's like the part that unlocks everything that's spiritual on the inside of you. It breaks my heart when I meet Christians and they say, you know, 25 years ago, I had this experience, I prayed in tongues, but it never happened again. Well, of course, the enemy doesn't want you to do it. But the truth is that it's in you. Once he comes upon you, he's come upon you. It's now happened. Now all you have to do is exercise your faith. Well, how do I do that? Well, how do you know you're saved? Well, you know, it sounds really funny. Who cares what it sounds like? It's got nothing to do with the sound. It's got everything to do with what's happening on the inside of you. Are you with me? Praying in tongues is extremely powerful because what it does is it unlocks what's already inside you and gives you the ability to begin to understand it. One of the things I love, whenever we do deliverance, I haven't had a good deliverance in a while. Whenever we do deliverance, and like it's a full-on manifestation, I mean the demons speaking and everything. And like you get to a point where you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do here. And so you just start praying in tongues and the devil starts saying to you, stop that. Stop that. Don't do that. They hate it. They can't stand it. Because if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And it's amazing. You start doing that and all of a sudden you know exactly what spirit it is and you call it out. Just like that. It's happened so many times. You are called to be a spiritual person. Praying in the spirit, praying in tongues is so powerful and such an awesome part of it. At the very least, don't reject it without looking more into it. Not just going on what you've heard. I've showed you scripture. And please, if you have never been to E1 or E2, please come next week. But I want to show you one more thing. Watch this. How many of you think Paul was a pretty cool guy? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll read verse number 18. Watch this. Let's put it up. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul wrote nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. In other words, Paul got more revelation. He had more mystery revealed to him than many others. And he makes a statement like that. After what I've just explained to you, do you see what happens when you pray in the Spirit? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He was trying to overemphasize something. The next verse he's going to teach us about the discipline of it in church. But he wants to make sure that before he teaches you about the discipline of it in church, that he wants you to let you know that he prays in tongues more than all of us. If the Apostle Paul wants you to know that, it must be important. Now watch this. Because the prophet Isaiah knew that the church would reject it. And so he writes about it. Watch. Isaiah 28, verse number 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you will cause the weary to rest. In other words, when you're praying in tongues, when you're praying in the Spirit, you actually enter into rest with God. But he says, look at what he says. He says, this is the rest which he caused the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. In other words, they would not hear. They did not receive it. Are you with me, guys? Is there anybody out there? Are you all like in shock or something? Now, we have literally scratched the surface of the subject to get the full thump of it. You need to come next weekend. But I wanted to show you tonight the power of it. See, it's not like we just do it because it sounds nice or sounds funny. We do it because it actually does something extremely powerful. I remember when I started in the beginning of my walk with God, I would see my pastor pray for hours in tongues, because our prayer meetings would be hours and he would pray in tongues for hours. And he said that one of the keys, one of the secrets to walking in the supernatural power of God was praying in tongues. And I believed him because I could see it. He was doing it, so that I'm going to do it too. And I started praying. I started praying in the Spirit, started praying in tongues more and more and more and more. And I began to encounter God in the most incredible way. Ways I never dreamed of. I was a young boy, grew up in a Christian home, walked with God, served God, but had never ever gone into any of the supernatural, none of the spiritual stuff. It had never been a part of my life. Suddenly I have this major encounter with God. I speak in tongues. When I get home, I think that was definitely the devil. That was not real. That was fake. But you know, I thought, you know what? I feel like something's changed on the inside of me. I'm going to keep trying. And I kept on praying and I kept on praying. And suddenly what was difficult in the beginning just began to become so easy. It was like riding a bicycle. It was just so easy. Just pray and pray in tongues for hours. It became just natural. And suddenly one day I'm praying in my room and the power of God comes all over me. I begin to see things. I begin to have visions. I begin to encounter God in the most unbelievable way. And in the process of all of it, he begins to reveal my purpose. This is why I'm here. I remember this young girl in a church service coming up to me at the end of the service. She came up to me and she said, one day you're going to go and you're going to preach in America. When I was in South Africa, I was about 19, and I thought she was absolutely crazy when she said that to me. That's what happens when you begin to tap into the things that God has prepared for you. God has called each and every one of us to be spiritual, to have the solutions for your family. They're in the Word. You see, the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God will never violate His Word. But he's got a really big book, right? So sometimes you need a word from somewhere, then you don't even know where it is. But he'll talk to you. And then you can go and confirm it in his word. But that's how he works. He wants to speak to you every day. He wants to have a relationship with you every day. And one of the ways, not the exclusive way, but one of the ways is praying in tongues. Don't reject it. If you don't understand it, find out more. Come next week. But I can tell you, it is one of the most powerful things. And it's changed my life and it's changed many. There are many people sitting in this church. When they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, their lives changed forever. They were serving God, but it was like there was something missing. And the day the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in tongues, it was like, boom, the lights went on. Because that's what the Bible says. You're going to begin to see the mystery. Why you were here. For what? For your glory. Your purpose. The plan He has for you. You see, we fit into God's purpose. So that's why it is important that you find out what your purpose is, so that you can fulfill His plan. But the problem with man is man doesn't want to do that. Because sometimes, as we learned with Dr. Brown, it's a little uncomfortable. Praying in tongues is kind of like a little weird, you know? But trust the Lord to give us a way like that. And you just don't understand. I remember, you know, Naomi can tell you, I'll share one more thing and then I'm going to close. I remember just after we'd planted the church, and I could tell you many stories like this, but this is how God speaks to me. And I'll grow into my prayer room and I'll begin to pray. And you know, sometimes when you pray, even when you pray in tongues, it's kind of hard. Like you just feel like nothing's happening, you know? And one day I went into the prayer room. We were still in Fort Pierce. We had just planted the church. And I began to pray. And as I began to pray, everything God wanted me to do with the church, I just began to write down. Like more than one page. I think it was like 2-3 pages. And 4 hours had gone by. And it felt like 10 minutes to me. Because God was just speaking to me. It's like everything was just, and it was like even my prayer language, even my tongues, it was like, it was just pouring out of me. It was unbelievable, you know. And I was writing down. What was I writing down? I was writing down the mysteries. I was writing down the secrets of what He had planned for me that the natural man would never have been able to even comprehend. And I remember Naomi saying, wow, this is amazing. And she always says to me, she knows when God speaks to me like that because it's not the way I even talk. Some people say, well, you know, how do you know? How do you know it's God? Well, it's just different. But it never violates His word. He will never violate His word. Amen? Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, tonight in this place, we give You honor. We worship You, we praise You, we magnify You. Lord, I pray that not one person will leave here not stirred up in one or other way, Father, by tonight's message. Father, I know that there's been many teachings on the subject of tongues that has put a lot of fear in people's hearts. I pray, Lord, that tonight that fear will leave in Jesus' name. I also pray, Father, where there's been abuse of tongues, specifically in church services. I pray, Father, tonight that You will also cause peace to come upon people because You do have an order. And I pray, Lord, that tonight in this place, You will also cause a hunger to come in the hearts of people in this place, a hunger and a thirst, Father, for more of Your plan and Your purpose. Father, we love You so much. And it's so unbelievable to think that You have a desire for us to also find out why we are here so we can fit into Your plan with the plan that You have for us. I also this evening come against any attack of the enemy, any fear. I come against it now in Jesus' name. I come against anyone in this place that feels like they're not worthy because of sin or mistakes or anything like that. Father, Your word says that we should come unto You. We should come unto You. We should drink. All who are thirsty should come unto You, Lord. All who are weary should come unto You. So I pray tonight that everyone in this place will make a decision to come to You, Lord, to seek after You, to hunger and thirst for more of You, Father. Father, did You not say that out of the belly will flow rivers of living water? Father, the prophet Isaiah said that this would be that would give us refreshing. Lord, I pray that we would tap into everything, the deeper things, the secret things, the mysteries of Your plan for our lives. Every person in this place is so precious to You, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that You will touch them, even tonight in this place, that You will touch them, Lord. Lord, Your word says that no one comes to the Father unless You draw them. So I ask that You would draw them right now. Right now in this place, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's all stand for just a moment. I'm going to close in just a second. If you want to, you can raise your hands. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But if you raise your hands, I pray this now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, you don't have to pray. I'm praying. Just receive this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for them now. Holy Spirit, that you will fill them, that you will touch them, that they will never be the same again. Lord, I can sense that you are putting a hunger in the lives of many in this room, that you are stirring them up, Father, to desire more of your presence. Fill them in this place, I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now. Fill them up, Lord. Touch them now in Jesus' name. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor. There is none like you. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.